Welcome to Red State Review, your daily dose of news and insights from America's heartland. From policy debates to grassroots movements, we bring you the stories that matter most to conservative Americans. Join us as we explore the issues shaping our nation and our values. This is Red State Review.
Hey guys, Reed Walker here with the Red State Review. Today is the very first day of August. Today we've got a couple things we're going to get into. This will be our first full-length podcast today. Few headliners. Trump had a very interesting interview in Chicago yesterday and reassured some DP news for Vance. We've also got Olympics are still making a ruckus, as we shall say, in the media. So a few other things we'll get into, but let's first start with the Trump interview yesterday in Chicago. I will play a couple clips on that, and we will see after
Why did you choose him? And I'm having a hard time hearing, too. I'll tell you why.
I chose him because he's a very strong believer in work and the working man and woman, and especially the working man and woman who have been treated very unfairly, because you have many of them in this room, but you have many of those people. They were treated very unfairly. They worked very hard, and they were treated unfairly. He wrote the book that became a bestseller. The movie became a smash hit. He's a very smart guy. Without the benefit of having a family that has contacts, like a father that was well-connected, he got into Yale Law School. He graduated in 2 years from Ohio State, summa cum laude. I mean, you take a look at, you know, his career has been an amazing career. He started off at a level with a difficult family situation, very difficult with the mother and the father and everything else. He ends up going to Yale Law School and was one of the top students, became the head of the law journal. I mean, that's an amazing thing. He was in the military with great distinction for 4 years. Got out, went into business, became successful in business, very successful in business, actually. Did public offerings and other things. And I have to believe in that. I mean, he's somebody that was born in a rough situation. Most of the people know that situation because it was very well documented in his book. And I have a lot of respect for somebody that can get into Yale and become one of the best students in Yale, that meets a young woman at Yale who was also outstanding, and they get married, they have a beautiful family, but he had he's made himself an amazing life. He then goes to Ohio, lives in Ohio, and he had my endorsement. That helped. But he wins the Senate. He becomes a United States Senator. So he's a United States Senator. So Harris, like, I respect you for your success.
So as you can see in this clip, Trump clearly sticks up for J.D. Vance. This kind of puts some rumors up to bed as of last week. Chuck Schumer saying that Trump regrets his DP decision, yada, yada, yada. We need to become, he said we need to pick somebody else. Listen, this is nothing but Trump sticking up for J.D. Vance. J.D. Vance, just like Trump, has a proven track record. Now, we're going to talk about this a few times today, a proven track record. That is something Kamala Harris and the Democrats do not have. They have trashed this country this year. Especially this year. But you look at J.D. Vance, a proven track record, a very, very good story. I recommend to read you him. I recommend you to read his book. I just got done reading it last weekend, but it's phenomenal. But you're talking about J.D. Vance is a guy that served his country, graduated from Ohio State, successful businessman, senator, now next VP. A lot of people on the edge of their seats because they don't like J.D. Vance because he was an anti-Trumper guy. I think that kind of helps the situation here. I think J.D. Vance isn't afraid to admit that, yes, he didn't believe in Trump's policies, but his proven track record, we're going to go back to the proven track record, he has seen that. But let's jump right into the next clip here. This is kind of the start of the interview. It's right off the bat rude, and as you can see, Trump will address this. we slay our quicklies.
By addressing the elephant in the room, sir. A lot of people did not think it was appropriate for you to be here today. You have pushed false claims about some of your rivals, from Nikki Haley to former President Barack Obama, saying that they were not born in the United States, which is not true. You have told four congresswomen of color who were American citizens to go back to where they came from. You have used words like animal and rabid to describe black district attorneys. You've attacked black journalists, calling them a loser, saying the questions that they ask are, quote, stupid and racist. You've had dinner with a white supremacist at your Mar-a-Lago resort. So my question, sir, now that you are asking black supporters to vote for you, why should black voters trust you after you have used language like that?
Well, first of all, I don't think I've ever been asked a question so in such a horrible manner, a first question. You don't even say, hello, how are you? Are you with ABC? Because I think they're a fake news network, a terrible network. And I think it's disgraceful that I came here in good spirit. I love the black population of this country. I've done so much for the black population of this country, including employment, including opportunity zones with Senator Tim Scott of South Carolina, which is one of the greatest programs ever for black workers and black entrepreneurs. I've done so much, and, you know, and I say this, historically, black colleges and universities were out of money. They were stone cold broke. And I saved them, and I gave them long-term financing, and nobody else was doing it. I think it's a very rude introduction. I don't know exactly why you would do something like that. And let me go a step further. I was invited here, and I was told my opponent, whether it was Biden or Kamala, I was told my opponent was going to be here. It turned out my opponent isn't here. You invited me under false pretense. And then you said, you can't do it with Zoom. Well, you know, where's Zoom? She's going to do it with Zoom, and she's not coming. And then you were half an hour late, just so we understand. I have too much respect for you to be late. They couldn't get their equipment working or something
Mr.
was
President,
wrong.
Mr. President, I would love I think you it's can a answer very the question nasty on your rhetoric question. And why
I have answered
black
the question.
Trust you with another
I have
years.
Been the best president for the black population since Abraham Lincoln.
Better
That's
than,
my answer.
Better than President Johnson, who signed the Voting Rights
and
Act.
For you to start off a question and answer period, especially when you're 35 minutes late because you couldn't get your equipment to work, in such a hostile
So
manner,
you can
I think
see
it's
Trump
a
came into a hostile environment, stood his ground, showed his proven track record as we go back to again. But props to Trump. That's harsh to go into not only any interview, but an interview right off the bat, just harsh questions. And it was really just the only one reporter, I forget her name, but she was in the blue. The other two reporters I thought did very good, were very good. Few people had some stuff to say about that yesterday. Byron Donald said today President Trump entered a hostile environment, highlighted his historic accomplishments, spoke directly to the issues that matter, securing the border, reducing Biden-Harris inflation, restoring energy independence, fostering tough conversations, and debate how we make America great again for all Americans. Unlike Kamala Harris, President Trump is not afraid of going into any venue, anytime, anywhere, and today was no exception. I mean, where was Kamala Harris during all this? Kamala Harris is worried about putting Meg Thee Stallion's twerking on stage at her events. She's worried about having Quavo speak at her events, but she's not attending a national black journalist event, which you think Kamala Harris would be all over that, but she has not showed. She didn't show. As you can see, President Trump clearly said that Joe Biden or Kamala Harris was supposed to be at the event. Where are they? They are throwing, you know, I already know. The Kamala Harris train is so unbelievably crazy. It makes no sense half the You know, another funny thing in that interview, Trump says Kamala Harris now identifies as a black woman, which is kind of funny. Got some boos and yays there in the crowd, but he's kind of right. Listen, if you look at it, any past interview when she was maybe in California, She very states clearly that she's an Indian woman, yada, yada, yada. And now here we go with, I think just Trump quoted, now she identifies as a black woman, which is kind of funny. I think he later tweets about on his Truth Social. But let's just go back to the track record. Kamala Harris's track record, record high inflation. I can't even imagine. I mean, plenty of open borders. The borders are, as we should call it, Kamala Harris. We are not energy independent. We want to source all our oil and gas from other countries. We want everybody to pay for that as well. It just goes back to a proven track record, and I don't see how anybody can vote for Kamala Harris. The only people voting for Kamala Harris are the anti-Trumpers, and I stand on that.
The left loves DEI policies, diversity, equity, inclusion. They think it's great and necessary, but when you point out someone is a DEI hire, they get all offended. Again, Trump's answer here had the lefties losing it.
Define it for me, if you
would. I just defined it, sir. Do you believe that Vice President Kamala Harris is only on the ticket because she is a black woman?
Well, I can say no. I think it's maybe a little bit different. So she was always of Indian heritage, and she was only promoting Indian heritage. I didn't know she was black until a number of years ago when she happened to turn black, and now she wants to be known as black. So I don't know, is she Indian or is she black?
She has always identified as a black woman.
I respect
she went to a historically black college.
I respect either one, but she obviously doesn't, because she was Indian all the way, and then all of a sudden she made a turn and she became a black person.
And that answer had the media outraged. How dare he say she identified as Indian and not black? But here is AP News' headline. They said Harris calls Trump's false claims about race the same old show. But wasn't it AP News who ran with this headline? They said California's Kamala Harris becomes first Indian American US Senator. That was back in 2016. And here is Kamala herself saying that in recent years.
Certainly you could become the first Indian Senator in US history, which would be quite an accomplishment.
Not good.
Because yes. You are Indian.
Yes, yes.
Okay, and okay. I don't know that everybody knows that, but I find that wherever I go and I see Indian people at the uh-huh. supermarket, on uh-huh. the street, everyone's like, you know Kamala Harris is Indian, right? It's like our thing we're so excited about to have you running for president.
Yeah.
So we're both Indian. Yeah.
Look, how I see it is you can be Indian, you can be black, you can be Indian and black, Indian and Jamaican. This obsession with race and basing your vote on the race or ethnicity of a candidate.
And I couldn't agree more that it doesn't matter about race, whether you're running for president or not. Kamala Harris could disagree. Kamala Harris is the one trying to play the race card every turn she gets, everywhere she goes. Now, let's move on to a different story here. The Olympics still causing a lot of commotion here. In Maine, Khalif, I think I'm saying that, our Algeria boxer who had gender test issue when his first Olympic fight with, and when the pony quick. This happened, of course, in science. She won her boxing debut Thursday night against opponent and Gioia Carni of Italy quit after just 46 seconds. The former male boxer was disqualified from the 2023 World Championship after failing an unspecified gender eligibility test, and her presence at the Paris Olympics has become a diverse issue. A divisive issue, excuse me. But you know, the woman fighter, the actual woman fighter was very upset about this. Broke down in tears, got on her knees, started crying in the middle of the ring. You hate to see that from a person that works her whole life just to get that one moment, to get beaten by a man in the ring. It's just not fair. And it's one of these new, you know, there's some sports that men do not need to compete with women. And this is one of them. Fighting, MMA, boxing, whatever you have it. Men uphold a certain strength, I think a physical advantage, I'll say. And I'm saying, hey, most MMA girls could probably beat up a random dude. They could probably beat up on a dude. But I'm saying when you're in the professional world, You train for this 24/7. Ain't nan is it if I'm out. Most of the time on top, every time. But it's just so unfair. You should see her crying on the interview after, saying that, hey, you know, she couldn't win this for her father. But it's just sickening. It's sickening that this is allowed. It's sickening that this is what people want. It's sickening that people want to sit there, watch a man beat on a woman legally. Yeah. It's just, it's not right to me. And this is another one of these Olympic things that has just gone too far. So that was a little bit of the story today. It's just, you know, she said she felt a severe pain in my nose. And with the maturity of a boxer, I said enough. Because I didn't want to, I could have finished the match, Coney said, but she stopped. Just a sad story there. I mean, imagine working all year, all this training and all that. You get halfway there. You're close now. You might win the gold for your country, but you face some giant man that likes to beat up on girls that has to transfer to a girl. Maybe they went. It's sickening, man. It's really sickening. All right, let's switch gears here. We'll go into the Secret Service director kind of got grilled by a few of these guys. I'll play a couple clips. This will be a little longer, but this is probably how we'll close out our day. So let's
make sure everybody can see it.
Let's look at a couple of these Trump assassination.
This is the photograph
interviews.
I believe that you took, your team took of the roof, the AGR roof. Yeah, that's the one. Okay. So from this vantage point, as the law enforcement who are in those windows, as they look left, they should be able to see the shooter clearly there on the AGR second floor roof. My question is, why is there not a Secret Service counter sniper on that roof?
So, Senator, when we post up, our methodology is to look at things that can see in on our protectees. So that they can provide that coverage.
But why is there not a Secret Service counter sniper there with clear line of sight? That roof has a clear line of sight to the former president. Why didn't you put a Secret Service counter sniper there?
The Secret Service's counter sniper role is to neutralize those threats that are looking in on us from where the protectee is, not necessarily
You think
this
maybe
position.
You might want to revise that protocol in light of what happened here?
They were protecting the principal, and I think in
the principal got shot.
I understand that, sir.
So do you think you might want to revise the protocol? Let me ask you this. Who is the lead site agent who made the decision to leave the AGR building completely outside of the security perimeter? Who was that?
Senator, I cannot give you that name. This person is operational. They're still doing investigations. They're still doing protective visits.
Have they been relieved of duty?
Senator, they have not been relieved
of duty. I know their name, by the way. Why have they not been relieved of duty?
They are still cooperating, not only being interviewed by the FBI, but also by our Office of Professional Responsibility. And we will let the facts of the mission assurance and any further investigations play out.
Isn't the fact that a former president was shot, that a good American is dead, that other Americans were critically wounded, isn't that enough mission failure for you to say that the person who decided that building should not be in the security perimeter probably ought to be stepped down?
Senator, I think you're using the word decided, and I think we need to allow the investigation play out to include.
Who did make the decision then? If it wasn't the lead site agent, who made the decision not to put that in the security perimeter?
Senator, you're zeroing in on one particular agent. I want to find out exactly what was the entire decision process. So I think I want to be neutral and make sure that we get to the bottom of it and interview everybody in order to determine if there was more than one person who perhaps exercised bad judgment.
Well, sure. My question is, why don't you relieve everybody of duty who made bad judgment? So, yeah, you're right. I am zeroing in on somebody. I'm trying to find somebody who's accountable here. You're telling me that the person who made the decision not to include this in the perimeter has not been relieved of duty. What about the person who is in charge of the interoperability of radio frequencies between local law enforcement and Secret Service? Has that person been relieved of duty?
No, Senator, because interoperability is a challenge, is a greater challenge than just one person. On that day, we had a counterpart system. It failed spectacularly.
As the person who decided, who made the decision to send Donald Trump onto stage knowing that you had a security situation, has that person been relieved of duty?
No, sir, they haven't.
Has the person who decided not to pull the former president off of stage when you knew that, in your words, the locals were working a serious security situation, has that person been relieved of duty?
No, sir. Again, I refer you back to my original answer that we are investigating this through a mission assurance. And as opposed to zeroing in on one,
what more do
or
you need to investigate to know
exactly what
more do you need to investigate
was.
To know that there were critical enough failures that some individuals ought to be held accountable? I mean, what more do you need to know?
What I need to know is exactly what happened, and I need my investigators to do their job. And I cannot,
a lot of people didn't do their
I cannot
jobs.
Put my thumb on the scale. Otherwise,
what do you mean put your thumb
the
on
objective,
the scale?
You're asking me, Senator, to completely make a rush to judgment about somebody failing. I acknowledge this was a failure of the
Secret
Service.
Is it not prima facie that somebody has failed? A former president was shot.
Sir, this could have been our Texas school book depository. I have lost sleep over that for the last 17 days, just like you have.
Then fire somebody to hold them accountable.
I will tell you, Senator, that I will not rush to judgment, that people will be held accountable, and I will do so with integrity. And not rush to judgment and put people unfairly persecuted.
I can't unfairly persecuted.
Unfairly,
we've got people
sir,
who are
we
dead.
We have to be able to have a proper investigation into this, Senator.
You said earlier that you've got to make sure that your protocols are followed, and unless there's a protocol violation, people wouldn't be disciplined. I would just say to you, I don't really care that much about your protocols. I think if your protocols don't provide for the fact that when a former president is shot, when an American is killed, when other rallygoers, innocent people who just showed up on the day, when they are shot at and critically wounded, if that isn't a protocol violation, prima facie, you should revise your protocols.
Senator, I think this is where you and I agree. This was a failure, and we will get to the bottom of it.
Well, I hope you're going to do something about it. Let me ask you something else. The Real Clear Politics reports this morning that you were directly involved in denying additional security resources and personnel, including counter-snipers, not just to this event, but over the last 2 years that President Trump's team repeatedly asked for these additional resources, and you personally were involved in denying them. Is that true?
Senator, as I stated earlier, that is not true.
So you never denied any resources to former President Trump's team?
No, not me. No,
and,
sir.
And you, weren't, and you weren't involved in any of that? You
no,
were never
sir,
involved in the decision-making?
No, sir, I was not.
Let me ask you just one or two other things here quickly. Well, whistleblowers tell me that, in fact, law enforcement were stationed to be on that roof and that law enforcement abandoned their post because it was too hot. Is that accurate?
Senator, I have heard that as well. They posted up inside. And I think moving forward, as I said earlier, we're going to ensure that state and local counter snipers are on roofs.
But do you know if someone was supposed to be on the roof? Do you know if someone was in fact? That's what the whistleblower tells me. That may or may not be accurate. Do you know that to be the fact? Was somebody posted to the roof, local law enforcement or whomever?
I do not know that to be a fact.
Well, can I ask you why you don't know that?
Again, Senator, we are looking at this, and they should have been on that roof. And the fact that they were in the building is something that I'm still trying to understand.
I just want to express my frustration, Director, that 17 days or whatever it's been, that whistleblowers are telling us more than you are, and you don't know, you haven't ascertained if there was supposed to be law enforcement on the roof. That seems like a pretty basic fact. I'm also told that local law enforcement suppliers offered the Secret Service drones, and you declined them. Is that true?
So, Senator, I've been very transparent and forthcoming.
Your agency has not been transparent and forthcoming, so please, let's not go there.
I have been forthcoming, sir.
That remains to be seen. You've been on the job a few days. So far, you've fired nobody. Now, the drones.
Thank you,
sir.
Were
you offered drones?
Senator Hawley.
So there was an offer to fly a drone on that day.
And why did you deny it?
I think the ability of local law enforcement to provide an asset, we probably should have taken them up on it if it was offered.
Just crazy that this kind of rhetoric is going around. I think they're this unsure of everything, that they're blending this side. But here's Senator Mike Lee speaking to him as well. Let's play a clip.
Why was President Trump allowed to take the stage at 6:02 p.m., exactly 17 minutes after multiple suspicious person reports were provided, complete with photos and information suggesting that the assailant had a rangefinder, something that ordinary people don't use in this kind of circumstance?
Senator, again, it was suspicion, not weapon, or there was never communication of that there was an individual with a gun or threat or other bad intentions.
How many suspicious person reports did you receive that day?
I'll get back to you on the exact number, but there were other individuals that came to the attention of law enforcement that day.
Would President Biden ever be allowed on stage under similar circumstances with an unresolved set of multiple suspicious person reports provided, including indicating that there was a rangefinder involved?
Senator, I can tell you that a suspicious person on the outer perimeter with local law enforcement attempting to locate would happen, but I would need more information as far as whether or not we would allow the president to go on or off. Again, for us, it comes down to weapon, a potential threat. Is the individual carrying an IED? Is there a weapon? Is there some other factor that now ramps up our attention to
Understood.
Hold off on this?
If there were 8 shell casings found next to the assailant's body, but he was neutralized after the first shot, where do those other shots come from? Where do the other shots go?
As far as the assailant's shooting?
Yes. So did the assailant get out 8 shots, or were those shell casings left from the day before? Where did they come from?
The shooter, Senator, we believe fired 8 rounds. We had the shooting reconstruction team go out there for a period of days and collect all that. So we have bullet holes, bullet fragmentation, all taken back, and we're still putting together the trajectory and ballistic analysis, although we do have fragments of the bullets, and bullets that have been collected in the distance from the shooter's weapon.
Gotcha. It's my understanding that there was a sniper team assigned to a window with complete overlook, complete view of the roof, the same rooftop, the sloped rooftop where the shots were fired. It's also my understanding, according to some whistleblower accounts, that post was abandoned. What can you tell me about that? Why was it abandoned?
So I saw that from the colonel's testimony, sir, and it's something that I've asked and our mission assurance is getting to the bottom of. And there were two-man counter-sniper teams from the locals that were in that AGR building.
And so at some point they just left?
That I don't have an answer for you on that, Senator, but it seems to me that if even one of them left, there should have been remaining some additional eyes left in that building.
Yep. That seems like something that maybe should be one of the very first questions you address. I'm actually surprised that you don't know that already, and I'd ask that you submit to us in writing what you learn as soon as you learn it. Will you commit to that?
Yes, sir.
What can you tell me about? Well, let me just state this way. Multiple requests were made by Trump's protective detail and by Trump's campaign team to the Secret Service for additional resources. I'm told that those were denied. And as I recall, the Secret Service spokesperson initially denied that such requests were made and denied. Why not tell the truth from the outset? What were they trying to do there?
So, Senator, I don't think there was any intention to mislead.
Seems like a pretty material fact, doesn't it?
I saw that report. Go ahead, Senator.
Will you commit to me that you will submit to us in writing what requests were made, by whom, and to whom, and when they were denied?
I will, sir.
Okay. Look, at the end of the day, we're looking at a situation in which, at a minimum, people knew that this guy had a gun at least 2 minutes before the shooting happened. I want to know what you can tell me about what happened during that final 2 minute period, where a whole bunch of people in the crowd saw and were shouting, "He's got a gun." During that 2 minute period, perhaps at the beginning of it, the local police started to climb the rooftop, and there was at least 30 seconds after which local police were able to personally observe the shooter with a gun, had the gun pointed at him. What happened during that time period, and why on earth was President Trump not removed from the stage at that moment?
So again, Senator, the reason why President Trump was not removed was, again, we did not have anything more than locals working an issue at the 3 o'clock, wasn't determined as to whether or not it was the same individual or not, and there was no report of
the same individual as what?
The same suspicious individual.
Right, but we've left the category of suspicious individual at that point. You've got a guy with a gun on a rooftop 136 yards away from the stage. You know that he's got a gun at that point. What happened during that time period that did not result in President Trump, his protective detail, being notified of that and him immediately being removed from the situation?
Senator, what I will say, and then I'll turn it over to Deputy Director Abate, no information regarding a weapon on the roof was ever passed to our personnel.
How is that even possible? Do you want to comment to that?
Senator, again, I believe that information, and this is probably something my colleague can expound on, information that was in law enforcement, local law enforcement channels, but did not cross over and make it to Secret Service awareness.
Senator, just to clarify the timeline, so the individual was first seen by law enforcement on the roof at about 6:08. We're still working to perfect the timeline based on the radio comms and all that. It wasn't until at 6:11:03 seconds, the officer saw him and called out his arm. That was the first sighting where he had the rifle on the roof. And then he...
And that was relayed to the Secret Service Command Center at that point?
My understanding is no, Secret Service, it was not relayed to them. It's a narrower time frame, though. It's probably about maybe up to half a minute between the time he's seen with the rifle and when the shots are fired.
But there's still time. At that point, if there were an open channel of communication in which they were able to tell him, he's got a gun, take him out. You could still take President Trump off the stage. You could have him duck. You could have the shooter neutralized. Do you not have a channel of communication by which they can say, gun, take him out?
So again, Senator, that information stayed in local channels and did not make it over to Secret Service.
Did they not consider that relevant? You're saying that the local police didn't consider that relevant enough to pass along to the Secret Service?
Sir, I think that they were in the midst of dealing with a very critical situation, and they articulated that over the radio.
You know, after seeing all this hearing and all that, it makes you very, very curious why there are no answers that a president almost got shot and everybody is in this disarray, that we don't know, we're looking into it. Listen, the American people need to know what happened that day in Butler, Pennsylvania. It's mind-boggling to me that we're this far ahead. We're having all these hearings and everybody's like, I don't know. This guy didn't tell me to do this. This guy didn't tell me to do that. Da la 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 la. Listen, a president almost got assassinated. Whether it's Trump, whether it's Biden, people need to know the reason, what happened. And I think there's a couple stories that they're planning or predicting another president's assassination because there was such, I guess, you know, just because it was so easy to do this one, people are saying, hey, there will be another one. Just because it was that easy to do the other one, let's try this again. I think there's been some stories there in the media about that. But it's true. The American people need to know something. At the end of the day, whether this happened, it's just very fishy to me. All right, folks, that pretty much covers it for today's podcast. This is Reed Walker with the Red State Review. We appreciate you tuning in. We will hopefully be back here the next couple days with some new news, hoping to do this daily or once every 2 days. But thanks again for tuning in. Appreciate it. Hey, y'all.